Good morning, everybody.
All right.
Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday. Today is October 8th, 2025. And the top story this morning, good God, look at what's going on in the price of gold, $4,000. We hit it in both the front month contract and spot price earlier this morning. The price of gold just keeps going up. It's outperforming freaking everything this year, higher than the S&P 500. It's actually outperforming stocks this century now. Not bad for a yellow pet rock. And of course, this is very bad for everybody else. So what's going on here this morning? First of all, the price again, $4,000. Silver, over $49. They're calling it the debasement trade. And it's going mainstream now. And you got to love it when CNBC and Bloomberg realize, oh, hey, guys, we're only about 3, maybe 2 years behind Jack. Congratulations, guys. It's nice of you to show up. Yes, as a matter of fact, debasement is the law of the land. It has been for several years now. The currency is going to zero in a hurry, and maybe not overnight, but in a hurry. And yes, that means you better own assets not denominated in dollars, which means gold, it means silver, and to a lesser extent, Bitcoin. You just got to love it. You know, yeah, they're only 2 years behind this channel. Congratulations, guys. You took your time getting here, but you got there. All right, everybody gets a trophy. Bloomberg is saying it's because of the government shutdown this morning. That's kind of funny. I couldn't help but laugh. I mean, do you know anybody who was out there like, oh my God, the government shut down. Quick, let me run out and buy gold. If you ask me, people are more likely to buy gold because of the fear that the government might reopen. I think that's a reason to go buy gold, not the fact that it's shut down. It's what they do to end the shutdown. That's what's going to send gold prices higher because they're going to spend more money in exchange for spending more money. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal is actually hitting a nerve here this morning. They're saying maybe it's fears of AI valuations and a bubble bursting might be driving people to gold. All right, that might be contributing. I don't think it's the main driver. But we actually got the reason why. There's this story from Ray Dalio in CNBC yesterday. Ray Dalio, he's a famous hedge fund manager. We've seen a parade of these guys over the last few weeks. He's out there now saying that 15% allocation to gold is reasonable. Now, again, we've had a couple stories like this. Like last week, we were talking about Jeff Gundlach, who's like a bond market legend, was out there saying a 25% allocation to gold was not unreasonable. Now we got Ray Dalio saying 15%, one after another. And that's the reason why gold is ripping here. And that's also the reason why gold has plenty of runway ahead. There's a lot of people are trying to say we're at a top. Why are we at a top? Because it's an all-time high. All-time highs are naturally tops. Well, yeah, all-time highs are always the top. That's because it's an all-time high until a new all-time high hits. And look at what's happened in tech stocks. Who wants to try to call a top and, you know, an all-time high over there? I've pretty much been saying it's too high for years, but I have not gone short because I haven't been willing to call it a top because there's no way of telling just how irrational this market will behave. So look, if we're really looking at reallocation, guys, gold's going to go a lot higher here. Think about how much money is sitting out there in the bond market right now. The average 60-40 portfolio, 60% stocks, 40% bonds. Right? That 15% gold means people are going to sell bonds and they're going to buy gold. 10-15% of 401ks, of IRAs, up to 25% if you ask Jeff Gundlach, that kind of liquidity flowing into gold and gold ETFs, we have never seen anything even remotely resembling that anywhere. Guys, gold is not that big of a market. Remember Exeter's pyramid, that little tiny, teeny little peak at the bottom? Peak at the bottom? Sure, why not? The bottom of the inverted pyramid. It's very small because the gold market isn't that big. If that much money goes looking for safety in gold, there is no telling how high the price is going to go. And why is that much money going and looking for safety in gold when it would historically go look for that safety or that perceived safety in the bond market? Well, it's because of negative real yields. Or in other words, the interest rate bonds pay is not going to keep up with inflation. That is obvious to anybody who's not selling bonds right now anyway. Look, that is how the government is going to pay for its reckless spending that it is proving to us it has no intention of ever changing. right? And you'll see when we come out of this government shutdown, they are going to increase spending. That will be the deal that they cut. So they're going to pay for their reckless spending. They're also going to pay to bail out the rampant fraud that is freaking everywhere in the market with more government spending, with more negative real yields and monetary debasement. They're going to pay for the AI bubble. They're going to pay for the bailing out of the banks. They're going to pay for commercial real estate. They're going to pay for private equity, all of it by spinning up the money printer. And of course, that's how they're going to finance World War III as well, with currency debasement and negative real yields. And so with all that happening, well, you're going to look for safety in the bond market where you're the bag holder? Hell no. You're going to go to the one place that's left that they can't touch, and that is gold. And there was a fantastic meme from my buddy Ben Rickard, who, you know, obviously a fictional character from The Big Short, but there's a Twitter account named Ben Rickard, posted a fantastic meme yesterday that captures that. Stick around to the middle of the show for that one. And we've got a lot of AI headlines this morning, guys. The AI mania has now gone mainstream. First of all, the Bank of England, the UK Central Bank, they're out with a note this morning warning of a sharp correction if markets' mood on AI were to sour. Oh, well, I'd hate to sour your mood. Sorry, don't let those Twitter randos sour things. Meanwhile, we've got Bloomberg and CNBC are both making jokes on the air and running articles about the circular accounting in the AI bubble. And once again, isn't it just amazing to learn that, hey, the mainstream financial press is only 2 years behind Jack? Congratulations, guys. Everybody gets a trophy. I don't toot my own horn often, but when I do, I'm gonna toot it. Yeah, that's how that works. 2 years behind me. Meanwhile, like Twitter, Elon Musk is like, hold my beer, guys. XAI is raising $20 billion to buy chips, and you'll never guess who's giving them the money. Okay, you'll immediately guess who's giving them the money, and you'll be right. It is NVIDIA, another instance of NVIDIA buying their own chips. We'll see if the market rips on this deal. I don't think it's going to. I think everybody now realizes it's all bullshit and they're going to stop buying it very soon. Maybe any day now. Heck, it could be any minute now. This market could come to its senses and the selling will begin. I'm amazed it hasn't started yet, but we're getting there. Case in point, yesterday, Oracle sold off on news that the company lost $100 million on rentals of Blackwell GPUs in the current quarters. Guys, Blackwell's, that's the new one, the high-end one. The demand is insane one. They lost $100 million renting them. If the demand is insane, why is NVIDIA paying companies to buy it, and why are they losing money renting them? It's almost like the demand is not insane. I just throw them out there. You guys do what you want with them. Elsewhere in markets this morning, we've got European automakers are down across the board as Europe is rolling out new steel tariffs. That's something we warned about last week. That is happening this morning. I had a crazy story was sent to me by my moderator, M&J, this morning about Tyson and Cargill paying tens of millions of dollars to settle lawsuits for rigging food prices. What the hell, you guys? M&J, great story there, and that's going to have you shaking your heads when you hear about that one. We've got contagion risk from First Brands that my moderator, Mish, flagged this morning. Good catch, Mish. We got more and more funds are exposed to that one, and I think we're going to hear more about that as the weeks progress. And last but not least, I posted a meme yesterday, basically said artificial intelligence helping stock pumpers pretend the economy hasn't been shit since 2022. It was kind of a joke. And I had one of these lighten up Francis guys on Twitter got his panties in a bunch, all like, oh, you shouldn't say the economy is shit. You'll do anything for engagement and clicks, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's a nice original criticism. I've never heard that one. Let me know if you ever accidentally have an original thought, by the way. No. It's not just engagement for clicks. The economy is shit. Talk to anybody that lives outside of Wall Street or Silicon Valley. You know, like 99% of real Homo sapiens, real people, and they'll tell you the economy is shit, that their standard of living has fallen dramatically. That is the ones you're willing to talk to because you might be too afraid to talk to most people in the average major city who are like humped over on meth or fentanyl, all strung out, living on the streets, stepping in human excrement. Yeah, the economy is shit. Case in point, I got this story from yesterday about United Site Services. That is a porta potty company. All right. These guys sell the Mr. Bob's or they rent them out. They're operating under forbearance after missing debt payments. So look, guys, the porta potty company is broke. Yeah. The economy is shit. quite literally, the economy of shit is breaking down. So maybe I'm not being too hyperbolic there. We got a loaded show for you this morning. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance this morning. Don't forget that like button. And of course, you new guys, hit that subscribe button right next to it for the YouTube algorithm, because we do this one every day. So come on back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads. Right now, the S&P 500 is up 11 points in lieu of absolute catastrophe. Number go up 0.17% higher for the S&P this morning. The Dow is up by 147 points, a little less than a third of a percent in the black. And the NASDAQ is up 38 points, 0.16% higher, slightly underperforming the Dow this morning. But stocks are up across the board here. The DXY, meanwhile, is higher by 11 basis points, 98.71. This is a couple days in a row we've seen the dollar strengthen. What's going on here, guys? It is Japan, all about Japan. We had a pro-stimmy politician took over the ruling Liberal Democratic Party in Japan earlier this week. And ever since then, the yen has weakened dramatically. You're looking at USD JPY right here, the number of yen it takes to make $1. And we started, you know, we'll say Friday, we closed the week at about 147.4 yen to the dollar. Here we are at 152.4. The yen just keeps weakening. The yen is a big input to the Dixie math. So that is causing this stronger dollar, as it looks like the Japanese will be once again spinning up their money printer. Even though I don't think the Japanese ever stopped their money printer. They were just talking about slowing it down. Well, no, so much for that idea. Here comes more helicopter money in the Japanese. Meanwhile, the bond market, we've got yields lower this morning. The 30-year Treasury is at 4.697. That's down by about 3 basis points. The 10-year is off by 2.5 points at 4.106%. The 2-year yield is at 3.562, down by 1 point. And the 1 month is at 4.093, off by 0.5 point this morning. Looking at Bitcoin, it's having a decent morning here. After a bit of a sell-off yesterday, $122,709 for Bitcoin. That's up about $1,300 from yesterday. Now, here's the one thing, guys. One thing to be careful of in the basis trade, and not to sound like a broken record, but I do think crypto winter is just around the corner. We are on the calendar, exactly the bullseye of where the crash happened the last two cycles between 75 and 77 weeks from the halving. We're now in our 76th week from the halving. Bitcoin sold off yesterday on that Oracle news along with the rest of the NASDAQ. And it's worth pointing out here, Bitcoin, it's not a one-for-one correlation with the NASDAQ. I know people are going to jump down my throat. Sometimes Bitcoin goes up when the NASDAQ goes down, but most of the time with an asterisk, Bitcoin tracks the NASDAQ. So a brutal sell-off in AI, if that bubble were to burst, that could be the initiating event for crypto winter this time. All right? And I never really considered that until I saw that move corresponding with the story about Oracle yesterday. So keep an eye on that one. There is a lot of overlap in the data center space with the Bitcoin miners. It is entirely plausible that a collapse of the AI market could drag Bitcoin down with it. And we are due for something like that to happen here. But my money is still on the treasury companies going under as the initiating event for this crypto winter. Now let's look at the commodities board and just look at the shiny run this morning. Spot gold, $4,044.20. That's up almost 60 bucks, 1.5% higher this morning. December gold futures are at 4,065, up $61.50. Gold is just looking great here, and it ain't stopping. Meanwhile, my favorite of the shiny, it was underperforming gold yesterday. Today, it's outperforming. We've got spot gold, $48.99.85. Come on, give me that $49. Come on, $48.99. There we go, $49 for spot gold. It's up by $1.17 this morning, 2.45% higher. I like the shiny. Metals are looking good here. Copper, meanwhile, down about 0.17%. Platinum is up 2.9%. Look at the move in palladium this morning. Finally catching up to platinum. Big move there. We've got palladium up almost 7%, $1,469 for palladium. Yikes. Crude oil, meanwhile, is up about 0.8%, 62.21 for November WTI crude futures. That's up about, 48 cents this morning. So let's talk about some of these gold stories, guys. Everybody's talking about $4,000 gold in the mainstream press this morning. Starting with this one in Bloomberg, gold tops $4,000 for the first time, fueled by U.S. shutdown. No, that is not why gold is $4,000. The government shutdown is not causing people to run out and buy gold. I realize it's got Bloomberg clutching their liberal pearls, but that's not why people are buying gold. I think people are more likely to buy gold on the threat of the government reopening. But spot gold smashed through $4,000 an ounce for the first time as concerns over the U.S. economy and a government shutdown added fresh momentum to a scorching rally. Careful not to be scorched. Looks like Bloomberg brought their thesaurus to work this morning. It's a milestone for bullion, which traded below $2,000 just 2 years ago, with returns that now well outstrip those for equities this century. Gold has jumped more than 50% this year in the face of uncertainties over global trade, the Federal Reserve's independence, and U.S. fiscal stability. Now, that last sentence is actually excellent. I think those three stories are all contributing big time to the move in gold. Global trade, the tariffs, the de-dollarization, the sell America trade. You better believe that contributed to the run in gold. The Fed's independence. Absolutely. A president threatening to fire Fed officials and replace them with Uber doves in order to get lower rates to juice valuations higher. You better believe that's going to drive gold. And of course, U.S. fiscal stability, the never-ending story of bloated government debt and recklessness. That thing is never going to change. That is also driving gold higher here. Gold breaking $4,000 isn't just about fear, it's about reallocation, said Charu Chanana, a strategist at Saxo Capital Markets. With economic data on pause and rate cuts on the horizon, real yields are easing. Yes, Charu. While AI-heavy equities look stretched, central banks built the base for this rally, but retail and ETFs are now driving the next leg. He even touched on the AI bubble there. And guys, it's that real yields easing, even going negative, bonds not keeping up with inflation. At the end of the day, all these reasons, you can summarize it. Negative real yields is rocket fuel for gold. Meanwhile, we've got this one in the Wall Street Journal. A new Wall Street trade is powering gold and hitting currencies. They're calling it the debasement trade because, well, Wall Street Journal has finally figured out what I've been saying for freaking years, and they're acting like it was their idea. Well, that's adorable. Investors are pouring money into dollar alternatives like Bitcoin and precious metals. Investors worried about the future of the dollar and other major currencies are piling into gold, Bitcoin, and other alternative assets, powering what has become known in Wall Street as the debasement trade. Traders have snapped up gold since the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell signaled in August that the central bank would begin cutting interest rates despite low unemployment and above target inflation, pushing prices to records. Most actively traded gold futures on Tuesday surpassed $4,000 a troy ounce for the first time. These days, investors are pouring money into precious metals such as gold and cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. At the same time, President Trump has pledged to juice the economy through tax cuts, and traders have pushed stocks to records with a fervor for all things artificial intelligence. Now, they're both mentioning AI in the context of gold. Do you see the subtle shift in the narrative here? Whereas AI was a FOMO trade 2 weeks ago and, oh, ignore the randos, now it's a reason to buy gold. What? As investors make increasingly speculative bets that the boom will continue, they are also looking for ways to shield themselves from potential fallout of U.S. policy dysfunction, including widening budget deficits and the current government shutdown. That is pushing them into assets not denominated in dollars. And we got this one in CNBC. Everybody's talking about gold this morning. It's crazy. Ray Dalio says today is like the early 1970s and investors should hold more gold than usual. This was actually yesterday. I was remiss here. Bridgewater Associates founder Ray Dalio said investors should allocate as much as 15% of their portfolios. This black fly is getting on my nerves. My kids always leave the door open. I don't know what to tell you guys. Ray Dalio says 15% of their portfolios to gold, even as the precious metal surged to an all-time high above $4,000 an ounce. Gold is a very excellent diversifier in the portfolio, Dalio said Tuesday at the Greenwich Economic Forum in Greenwich, Connecticut. If you look at it just from a strategic asset allocation perspective, you would probably have something like 15% of your portfolio in gold because it's one asset that does very well when typical parts of the portfolio go down. Guys, the average person in a 401k or an IRA probably has no allocation to gold, maybe 5% allocation to gold. I know some of you guys out there have a lot of gold in your IRAs, you guys who do your own. I get that. But most people who just dump their money into a target date fund have no gold at all. And here's Ray Dalio saying 15% Just a few days after Jeff Gundlach said 25%, all that money flowing into gold, prices are going to rip. It's very much like the early 70s. Where do you put your money in? He said, when you're holding money and you put it in a debt instrument, and where there's such a supply of debt and debt instruments, it's not an effective storehold of wealth. He's taking a shot at the bond market there. He's saying buy gold, not bonds. That's Ray Dalio saying that. It's not some Twitter rando, not some YouTube guy, Ray freaking Dalio. Dalio's recommendation contrasts with typical portfolio guidance of financial advisors, which tells clients to hold mostly stocks and some bonds in a 60-40 split. Alternative assets like gold and other commodities are usually suggested to be a low single-digit percentage of any portfolio because of the lack of income they generate and also the lack of fees they generate for portfolio advisors. But you didn't hear me say that. Now, look, take all these stories, all right, all these different reasons and all the shutdown, the AI bubble, negative real yields, all this stuff, and you can see it here. I love this meme. This was from Ben Rickert on Twitter yesterday who posted this one. Again, Ben Rickert, the fictional character played by Brad Pitt in The Big Short. It says, look at me. Gold is the bond market now. That is why 4,000 is not a top in gold. Short term, all right, maybe there's a pullback at 4,000. It's a big round number. You tend to get resistance around big round numbers. That wouldn't surprise me. But zoom out, long term, even medium term, gold is going a hell of a lot higher here. And this is the reason why portfolio reallocation to gold because of negative real yields in the bond market. The gold market is just not big enough to absorb that much money looking for a place to hide. And that's why we may still be in the early days. And guys, silver remains undervalued relative to gold. So if gold is going to rip here, silver's going to rip even harder. And that's why I like the shiny. Meanwhile, we've got Bank of England warns of a sharp correction in markets if the mood sours on AI or the Fed. And I don't know if any of you guys have turned on CNBC or Bloomberg recently. The mood has definitely soured on AI. Abso-freaking-lutely. And the mood on the Fed soured years ago. But again, hey, it's nice to see you guys catching up to Jack only a few years late. Global financial markets could tumble if investors' mood sours on the prospects for artificial intelligence or the independence of the U.S. Federal Reserve, the Bank of England warned on Wednesday. On AI, the BOE said that 30% of the U.S. S&P 500's valuation was made up by just the five largest companies. That is the greatest concentration in 50 years. Everybody is crowded into the same freaking trade. What happens if they all start selling? Share valuations have based on past earnings were the most stretched since the dot-com bubble 25 years ago, though looked less so based on investors' expectations for future profits. I might say their expectations for future profits because there are zero present profits. This, when combined with increasing concentration within market indices, leaves markets particularly exposed should expectations around the impact of AI become less optimistic. And again, guys, this is not a Twitter rando. This is the Central Bank of the UK telling you this, not me. All right, nice of you guys to come to work today. Or as I say, welcome to the party, pal. a little John McClane reference here. And Bloomberg's getting in on it too. OpenAI and NVIDIA fuel a $1 trillion AI market with a web of circular deals. It is not a conspiracy theory among Twitter randos anymore. I warned you guys back in 2023, calling it a conspiracy theory was daring it to be true in the 2020s. And here we are 2 years and $20 trillion later. 2 weeks ago, NVIDIA agreed to invest as much as $100 billion in OpenAI to help the leading AI startup fund a data center build-out so massive it could power a major city. OpenAI, in turn, committed to filling those sites with millions of NVIDIA chips. The arrangement was promptly criticized for its circular nature. This week, undeterred, OpenAI struck a similar deal. The ChatGPT maker on Monday inked a partnership with NVIDIA rival AMD to deploy tens of billions of dollars worth of its chips. As part of the tie-up, OpenAI is poised to become one of AMD's largest shareholders. Never before has so much money been spent so rapidly on a technology that, for all its potential, remains largely unproven as an avenue for profit-making. In other words, exactly what Jack has been saying for 2 years. And often these investments can be traced back to two leading firms, NVIDIA and OpenAI. The recent wave of deals and partnerships involving the two are escalating concerns that an increasingly complex and interconnected web of business transactions is artificially propping up the trillion-dollar AI boom, exactly what I've been saying for years. At stake is virtually every corner of the economy, with the hype and build-out of AI infrastructure rippling across markets from debt and equity to real estate and energy. Oh, my God. Am I ever going to get any credit for this? Probably not. I don't care. They're just saying it here. They're saying it. They're using a lot of words to say Jack has been right all along. Look at what they're saying here. Artificially propping up the trillion-dollar AI boom. At stake is virtually every corner of the economy. Up yours, Stacey Raskin. Meanwhile, we get XAI to raise $20 billion after NVIDIA and others boost round. Here's one more story of NVIDIA buying their own chips. It's less than a day old. You might be forgiven to think for thinking this is like last week's headline, because last week it was pretty much the same thing and the week before that. But no, this is a new story. Now Twitter is getting with NVIDIA to buy NVIDIA's own chips. Elon Musk's artificial intelligence startup XAI is raising more financing than initially planned, tapping backers, including NVIDIA, to lift its ongoing funding round to $20 billion, according to people with knowledge of the matter. The financing includes equity and debt in a special purpose vehicle, paging Enron, that will buy NVIDIA's processors and rent them to XAI for use in its Colossus 2 project, said the people who asked not to be identified because the information is private. That's the name of its largest data center site, which is located in Memphis. XAI's financing would be split between about $7.5 billion of equity and as much as $12.5 billion of debt in the special purpose vehicle, the people said. The vehicle will be used to buy NVIDIA processors, and Musk's artificial intelligence startup would then rent the chips out for 5 years, allowing Wall Street financiers to recoup their investment. The unique deal structure backed by the GPUs as opposed to the company could provide a playbook for tech firms looking to decrease debt exposure. Guys, this is just CoreWeave all over again. That's all it is. Everybody's pulling a CoreWeave. How far away could this bubble be now that everybody can see it? And I know somebody's going to say, if everybody thinks it's a bubble, that means it's not a bubble. No, that's not true. If everybody thinks it's a bubble, that means there is a pin, a freaking millimeter away from the bubble. And if somebody blows in the wrong direction, that thing is going to burst. That's what it means when everybody says it's a bubble. And well, take this story from yesterday, as the information originally reported this. Here we've got Sherwood News reporting. Oracle tumbles after a report that it lost nearly $100 million from renting out access to NVIDIA's Blackwell chips. You buy NVIDIA's flagship chips because they're supposed to be the best in class, empowering you to build better AI capabilities or make lots of money off of other companies that want to harness the power of the AI boom. Not quite, per this report from the information, whose final paragraph begins with the line, in the 3 months that ended in August, Oracle lost nearly $100 million from rentals of NVIDIA's Blackwell chips, which arrived this year. That story was enough to take Oracle down yesterday. It caused a sell-off across the board in the NASDAQ. It even dragged Bitcoin down with it. And again, guys, it's what I've been saying for a long time. AI doesn't make money. Data centers don't make money. Nobody makes any money. It's just an accounting gimmick. It's been fraud this whole freaking time. All right, shifting gears across the pond, guys. We got a little bit of a trade war update this morning. And, you know, again, the Europeans are always clutching their pearls every time Donald Trump mentions tariffs. But the truth is, everybody's doing this. Even they are doing this. Auto giant shares tumble as European Union's new steel tariffs spark industry panic. This is the world deglobalizing. It's even hit the globalists in Europe. Pretty crazy. Shares of Europe's biggest car makers traded lower on Wednesday, amid concern that the European Union's latest efforts to protect the domestic steel market could threaten the region's auto sector. The European Commission, the EU's executive arm, announced on Tuesday that it plans to hike steel tariffs and sharply cut import quotas, seeking to offer a strong and permanent protection to the region's steel industry. The proposal includes a push to limit tariff-free import volumes to just 18.3 million tons a year. That's a reduction of 47% compared to 2024's quotas, and doubling the tariffs to 50% on any excess import. The planned measures have not gone down well with Europe's automotive industry. BMW shares fell sharply on this news. Looking at individual stocks, Germany's BMW fell around 8% on Wednesday, slumping towards the bottom of the pan-European stock 600 index. Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, and Volkswagen were all down roughly 2%. Shares of, is it Renault or Renault? That French company, and Milan-listed Stellantis were last seen 2.5% lower and 0.3% lower, respectively, although Stellantis was up earlier this morning in pre-market trading in the U.S. The European automakers do not like steel tariffs because European automakers use a lot of steel. But here you go, Europe, getting in on the tariff game. And I got to send a shout out to my moderator, M&J. M&J, thank you for everything you do to for the channel here. This is a fantastic story. And by fantastic, I mean just bloody awful. Tyson and Cargill to pay $88 million to consumers in beef price-fixing lawsuit. The foods companies are not always acting in our best interest, you may be shocked to learn. Tyson Foods and Cargill have agreed to pay a combined $87.5 million to settle a federal lawsuit brought by consumers who accuse the companies of conspiring to inflate U.S. beef prices by restricting supply. The preliminary class action settlements were filed on Monday in federal court in Minnesota and require a judge's approval. By the way, why are they allowed to just settle for $87 million? If they're doing this, why are people not going to jail over this? You go to jail for robbing a 7-Eleven. Doesn't conspiring to raise beef prices for 350 million Americans, isn't that worse than robbing a 7-Eleven? Shouldn't the people be doing this be going to prison? Oh, that's right. We treat white-collar crime with kid gloves, even though white-collar crime is what causes blue-collar crime. We let the white-collar guys get away with it, and then we throw the book at the people who knock over the 7-Eleven, even though they probably wouldn't have knocked over the 7-Eleven if Tyson and Cargill hadn't conspired to rig food prices, but I digress. Tyson, the largest meat company, will pay $55 million. They agreed to pay Tyson will pay $55. Cargill will pay $32.5 million. The proposed accords are a first for consumers in price-fixing litigation, which began in 2019. And this isn't the only case, guys. Tyson last week agreed to pay $85 million to settle a lawsuit by consumers who accused it of conspiring with rivals to inflate pork prices. Don't mess with my bacon. Tyson, of course, denied wrongdoing in that case. Earlier this year, JBS reached an $83.5 million settlement resolving price-fixing claims from ranchers and other plaintiffs, but not consumers. And, of course, JBS denied any wrongdoing. Well, look, you know, lots of people always pay $10 million through no fault of their own, right? Everybody admits no wrongdoing. Nobody goes to jail. Food keeps getting more expensive. Poor people keep getting poorer. Nothing ever changes. Where the hell are the prosecutors on this? With settlements like this happening in civil court, there are crimes happening. People just need to look. M&J, that was an awesome find. Thank you for sending that story. Meanwhile, we got this one. My moderator, Mish, found. Mish, good catch here. We're looking at some of the fallout, some of the contagion risk from the First Brands collapse. And I would add that the First Brands collapse, in my opinion, was contagion risk from the Tricolor collapse. This one in Bloomberg this morning, Jefferies has $161 million at risk in the First Brands collapse. And Bloomberg is going with the lowest possible number in the headline here because the exposure is actually a little bigger than that. Jefferies Financial Group said it has $161 million of exposure to funds that held receivables and loans of bankrupt auto parts supplier First Brand Group. The exposure is mostly through Point Bonita Capital, a division of Leucadia Asset Management, which manages trade finance assets on behalf of third-party institutional and other investors. Leucadia has a $113 million equity stake in the fund, according to the statement. Jefferies also disclosed exposure to First Brands through Apex Credit Partners, which it owns a 50% stake in. Apex held about $48 million of loans to First Brands through CLO, or collateralized loan obligation vehicles. So we've got complex ownership structures. Oh, we own a chunk of this firm, and that firm owns a chunk of that firm, and they own CLOs, or they hold loans, or they have receivables. So it's really hard to tell who's holding what and who's losing money. This is how contagion spreads. And when people don't know what the contagion risk is, they tend to get very defensive and they stop lending, and that can cause blowups in the credit market. So stories like this, you need to keep an eye on. And also, I said in the beginning how Bloomberg went with the low number for the title. As always, there's good details hiding in the last paragraph. Good catch, Mish. Point Bonita's $3 billion portfolio has about $715 million invested in receivables due by a few of First Brand's customers. It's a $300 billion portfolio, and they got $715 million invested in through just this one company. That is reckless allocation practice right there. The risk management people at this Point Bonita firm must be somebody's idiot nephew or something, because they're asleep at the wheel here. Problems with the receivables emerged on September 15th as the company stopped making these payments. So, yeah, we got that one going for us this morning. Now, look, I want to show you guys this thing. Here's this thing I posted yesterday. I'm sorry I was late starting this morning, by the way. Where's that meme I posted yesterday? I'll find it here. There we go. This is the meme I posted yesterday, right? Artificial intelligence helping stock pumpers pretend the economy isn't shit since 2022. And, you know, one of these stock pumping bro AI bro imbeciles chimes in and says, oh, you're just trying to get engagement. You'll do anything for clicks, which no, by the way, there's a lot easier ways to get clicks. And I don't do that on my channel. I also don't take the easy money from crypto scammers and, you know, manipulative gold IRA companies. I don't take their money either. There's a lot easier ways to make a living doing YouTube than the way I do it. So, you know, take that whole you're just doing this for clicks and you know where to put it. But, you know, he took issue with me saying that they pretend the economy isn't shit since 2022. Well, take a look at this story, because I think this story rather illustrates rather clearly that, yes, the economy is shit. Porta potty firm United Site gets forbearance amid negotiations. There's already human excrement on the sidewalk of every major city, and now the porta potty company is going out of business. Yeah, bro, the economy is shit. Platinum equity-backed portable toilet company United Site Services is operating under forbearance agreement after it elected to skip interest payments on some of its debt, according to people with knowledge of the money. They borrowed money to give people a place to poop at the construction site, and they can't pay it back. Yep, it's a shitty economy, all right. By the way, this is a commentary on home builders here, guys. The home builders have been in trouble for a while. Lumber tariffs are not helping. The frozen housing market is not helping. And if they can't pay the porta potty people, home builders are probably in bad shape. So yeah, the economy, it is shit, bro. And I just want to say thank you very much to Mr. Doug Stauffer. Hey, Doug, thank you so much for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much. He became a YouTube member. Welcome to the Melonheads, Doug. Just a reminder, guys, you get a free super chat every month. Feel free to use that with your membership, and I will read and respond to your questions and comments live on the air. Thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. Dan Hadeen, who's been a member for 19 months, says, to the moon, Alice! Bang, zoom! Oh, honeymooners, gotta love the Ralph Cramden reference. Baby, you're the greatest. Thank you so much, Dan Hadeen. By the way, I grew up watching reruns of the Honeymooners and the Three Stooges. Three Stooges was on right before Transformers, and my dad was a huge Honeymooners fan. So, yeah, I pick up that one right away. You, Norton, are a mental case. And Nacho Man Randy Savage says, prayers for Hunt. Hunt and Cover, feel better, guys. We got a couple of the regulars in chat are under the weather here. Hunt and Cover, I hope you're doing better, sir. And while we're on the subject, Nan, I hope you get well soon. Missing a couple of the regulars in the chat. Thank you, Nacho Man, for the good vibes, sir, and the well wishes. And as always, the support of the channel. The Melonheads are awesome. You guys are great. You guys who show up every day in the chat. I love seeing you guys. I love reading your ideas and your comments. It always amazed me when I start this channel how much came back. I thought when I first started doing this, it was just going to be me shouting into the ether. I was really surprised how much information came back. So thank you, guys. And please feel better, Hunt and Nan both. Jake's Custom Parts says, thanks, Jack, and the mods. Thank you, Jake's Custom Parts. And while we're on it, yes, thank you, Nan, Mish, M, and J. Thank you guys for everything you do to support the channel. And thank you, Jake, as well. VR Slim Racer, a.k.a. Clippy. What's going on, brother? He says, Clippy predicts gold resistance at $10,000. Thanks, Jack. Well, VR Slim Racer, it looks like you're trying to predict a top in gold. Want some help? Yeah. $10,000? Look, it depends on your time horizon, all right? Gold will hit $10,000 at some point. It's not going to be this week. It probably won't be this year, probably won't be next year. But I wouldn't bet money that it doesn't happen next year. The main driver of things happening in gold is what we talked about, right? The reckless fiscal situation in D.C., central banks, people losing confidence, speculative bubbles, no safe place to hide because of negative real yields, loss of confidence in the bond market, reallocation. Yeah, man, 10K could happen. It's probably not going to happen anytime soon. Somebody's going to jump down my throat. I'm talking long-term horizons here, but I do not think 4,000 is the top. There may be a short-term price correction. I'd be surprised if there wasn't, but long-term, guys, we are going a lot here. Thank you so much, Mr. Clippy, for supporting the channel. Wuali, thank you, sir, for your generosity. He says it's old news, but what is your opinion on the Russian advisor to Putin, Anton Kobyakov? I'm not familiar with the name. Upset about the U.S. wanting to devalue its debt using crypto and stable coins at the expense of the world. I agree. Let's take away the part about using crypto and stable coins, right? Let's just highlight and delete that part or put a pin in that part. The U.S. wants to devalue its debt at the expense of the world. That is a fact, brother. Abso-freaking-lutely, positively. The only way the United States can continue its current trajectory, which is straight off a cliff, by the way, the only way they can continue that is negative real yields, which means exporting inflation, paying interest that's less than the rate the currency loses money. That's the only possible way we can continue what we're doing. And have you seen Washington, D.C.? They're not going to change course. All they pay lip service to spending a couple times a year. You know, it's a nice little holiday where we all pretend to give a shit about government deficits. And then they go right back to running trillion-dollar deficits. It's only going to get worse. So I agree wholeheartedly with the U.S. wants to devalue its debt at the expense of the rest of the world. That's not up for debate. Using crypto and stable coins, we've been doing it without crypto and stable coins for decades. Why do we need crypto and stable coins to do it now? So I don't using crypto to devalue the debt is going to devalue no matter what. Now, stable coins, there's some truth to that. Yes, because stable coins, because of the Genius Act, any money put into stable coins is going to flow into treasury bills, which means it's going to be lent to the government. It's going to be lent to the government, by the way, at almost no interest, or at least the people buying the treasury bills will not be earning any interest because they'll be sitting in stable coins. The stable coin issuers will earn a pittance of interest off of those T-bills, but that liquidity flowing into T-bills should force their yields lower, which should force inflation higher. So there's some truth to it. I think the Russians are using it as a propaganda tool to try to force the de-dollarization, which is what they need to happen, because the Russian economy can't survive. They can't support this war indefinitely. The Chinese, the Russians, the whole BRICS gaggle, they all want to de-dollarize. So I think it's in furtherance of that, this talking point. That being said, I mean, devaluing the debt at the expense of the world, yeah, that's been the plan all along, regardless of crypto, regardless of stable coins. Thank you very much, Wally, for supporting the channel. Break My Wallet Motorsport says, I'm going to try that line on my wife tonight. I have been right all along. If you don't hear from me again, you know how it went. Well, Break My Wallet, lots of guys sleep on the couch and wake up without lower back pain. So maybe you're one of them. Yeah, you know, couches can be very, very comfortable. Yeah. Look, all joking aside, guys, I take cheap shots at myself. I make fun of myself all the time. But in this case, I'm going to gloat. I've been right this whole freaking time about the AI bubble. The whole world is admitting it without using my freaking name. They'll never use my freaking name. When they told the whole world to ignore me, they didn't use my name. So when they tell the whole world I was right all along, they certainly won't use my name. But you guys know who heard it first. Thank you guys for supporting the channel. Thank you, Break My Wallet Motorsports, and have a good night. Sleep on the couch, sir. Nashville Pasta Man says, a well-deserved thanks to you, Jack. These daily streams bring so much info to all of us. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I encourage everyone to buy Jack and Mish a cup of coffee. If you've been watching, you've made money. Thanks, buddy. Well, hey, I appreciate that very much, Pasta Man. Thank you for the good vibes. Thank you for the support of the channel. Thank you also for all the ideas you sent me. Pasta is one of those guys who is regularly sending me news and tips, ideas that when you take all of these various inputs, that's where these streams come from, guys. I couldn't put these together without all the information that you guys send to me. So, Pasta Man, thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Steve Wojta says, Break My Wallet Motorsports, couch for rent, $20 a night. All right, Airbnb couch. I like it, $20 a night. You know what? I tell you what, I will, I'm going to start a couch company. I'm going to give you money, Steve, so that you can buy my couches and then rent them out. However, I will give you a guarantee that I will rent back any couches that you're unable to sell. Then I want you to take the company public at a $200 billion valuation. I'm going to backstop your IPO by $500 million, and then we can go on CNBC and talk about how the demand for couches is insane. I just throw them out there. You guys do what you want with them. Thank you, Steve Wojtas, for supporting the channel. Hey, Frank, thank you for gifting 20 Nobody Special Finance memberships. I appreciate the generosity, Frank. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Melonheads, you 20 new members here. Be sure and say thank you to Frank in the comments, guys. And just a reminder, you Melonheads, you get a free super chat every month. So as I'm doing right now, use that and I will read and respond to your thoughts, ideas, and questions on the air. Thanks again, Frank. I really appreciate that, sir. And welcome to the Melonheads, everybody. All right, guys. Enjoy your $4,000 gold. Thank you so much for sharing your morning with the Melonheads here. I appreciate that very much. Hey, how about that like button on the way out? You new guys, hit that subscribe button too so you won't be 2 years behind the times when CNBC finally gets around to things. Thanks also to my magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon and YouTube for supporting the channel. You guys rock. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small. Dream big. We'll